Blog Talk Radio.
This person asks, after many years of meditation and all the twists and turns of life, I'm now in the grip of intense fear and anxiety. It seems it was always there, only more intense now. Sitting with it, letting it be there, seems to make it grow. Well, fear, anxiety, which is a form of fear, very common. Some people have it, many have it in the background continuously. And I would say there's some degree of fear, even if you're not conscious of it. If you're totally identified with the egoic mind, you will have fear, if only in the background. And it may come out in other forms. It can come express itself as anger. If you look at anger closely, you usually find hidden underneath the anger is a state of fear. So, if there's fear, one important thing is to, of course, you need to direct your attention to it. You acknowledge that there's fear. The important question that arises is, are there any thought processes connected with the fear? In other words, what are the thoughts that your mind is producing while you're feeling the fear? Is it possible that certain thoughts that you think frequently or habitually produce the fear? Is it possible you project yourself into the next moment, into the future moment, excessively, trying to control something that you have no control over? What's going to happen to me? Creating an imaginary scenario of loss that you might suffer. It's not happening now, but it might happen. And many things that the thought activity, excessive thought activity, often creates scenarios of things going wrong that are not happening now, may never happen, often probably will never happen. And even if they did happen, the actual situation would actually be easier to face than the imaginary situation in your mind, because there's nothing you can do, there's no action you can take to remedy an imaginary situation except to stop thinking it. But if an actual situation arises, you face it and you give it your attention, and then you take the action that you need to take. But an imaginary situation, you're totally at the mercy of it, so it only exists in your mind. So you need to see whether your mind is creating the fear by thinking fearful thoughts, by projecting itself into the future. And if that is the case, then you can see, oh, so I'm creating those because my body cannot tell the difference between an actual event that's happening outside and what my mind is producing. So when I'm thinking thought, my life situation is critical, if this is basically what your thoughts are telling you, then your body believes that this is the actual truth, that you are being threatened at this very moment. The body doesn't know the difference, that the tiger isn't in the room. The threatening presence is your thoughts. The body reacts in the same way, whether there's a threat, an actual threat in the room, or your thoughts can create the same even palpitations. You can shortness of breath because you're thinking fearful thoughts. You go at night. I had that for years. When awful state. It's insane. It's a disease, but nothing is happening. Absolutely nothing. There's a quiet room. Nothing. It's all happening in the mind. So if that's the case, see, okay, then you need to tackle the thoughts because they will cause the fear. And how do you tackle thoughts? It's by realizing the futility and the destructive nature of these thoughts and choosing to step out. And what do you do to step out? First, you don't believe your mind that tells you, no, you can't step out. You have to continue thinking. No, you step out and take a conscious breath, or put your attention into the inner energy field of the body. A conscious choice to remove attention from thinking. And you may have to be really alert to do it. If you are immersed in a mind stream, it could even be that it's so powerful that you just cannot get out. It has such gravitational pull, it pulls you. But at least you know that this is what's happening. So you there's a state where you cannot help yourself yet, but at least there is the beginning of a disidentification from it when you know that this is what is happening. So there's a part of you that knows this is not totally real. This is the fear is being produced by my mind. Or in those early stages, you may not yet be able to step out of it. It may be so strong that you're still totally in the grip of it, but at least you know that you're in the grip of it. The worst thing is to be in the grip of it and not even knowing it, because you're so identified with it, it is absolutely real to you. So even to know that this is happening is already a step forward. And then perhaps after a while the energy exhausts itself a little bit of this, and then you can begin to say, okay, you will step out of thought, that those fearful thoughts, because they are creating suffering, and you take a conscious breath, and another, and then begin to feel the inner energy field of the body. Ah, oh. Ah, oh. Wow, it's like this huge burden is suddenly dropped away. And then you look around. This is a form of awakening out of complete identification with thinking. It is really is an awakening, and you can observe it in yourself, and you go, oh, so nice. It's like a nightmare. You maybe everybody has experienced awakening from a nightmare and feeling such relief that you are in bed and it's safe. You go, and the same thing when you step out of fearful thought and become present. Ah. And then see, thought will then try to pull your attention back in. It can go, come this way. And then you might one little thought comes. Do you follow it or don't you follow it? If you follow it, it's just this. Oh.
Keep it locked on Hindsight Radio.
What triggered that?
I read a book called Indians of the Americas. I after reading the book, realized that I knew nothing about the American Indian, and that everything we are taught about the American Indian is wrong. It's inaccurate. And our school books are hopelessly lacking, perhaps criminally lacking, in revealing what our relationship was with the Indian. When we hear, as we've heard throughout all our lives, no matter how old we are, that we are a country that stands for freedom, for rightness, for justice, for everyone, it simply doesn't apply to those who are not white. It just simply doesn't apply. And we were the most rapacious, aggressive, destructive, torturing, monstrous people who swept from one coast to the other, murdering and causing mayhem among the Indians. There's one Indian in this. But and that isn't revealed, because we don't like that image of ourselves. We don't like to see us. We like to see ourselves as perhaps John Wayne sees us. And that, and also what we've learned about the Indian has been largely taught to us by Hollywood and by motion pictures. They have educated us. So we naturally believe that when the Indians came, that the wagon circled and the Indians rode around and subjected themselves to terrible fire and died at a ratio of 65 to 1.
Both barrels of a shotgun would always get two Indians.
And that wasn't the way it was at all. But anyway, Indians have been tragically misrepresented in films and in our history books, in our attitudes, in our reporting. And so we must set about to re-educate ourselves. Who are you looking at?
You.
Oh,
no, there's a message coming. But
oh, okay.
No,
okay.
One thing I wanted to get into on that, too, was the subject of not only how the Indians treated on the screen, but off the screen. I know
Let me tell you another thing. At a time when we say, especially, that we are going to keep our treaties and that we do keep our word and that we, above all people, do keep our word, I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. Means broken or changed or altered. Things are 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 altered.
Keep it locked. Locked on Hindsight Radio.
Ayo, it's poison. Ecstasy, coke, you say it's love, it is poison. Schools where I learned it should be burned, it is poison. Physicians prescribing us medicine with this poison. Doctors injecting our infants with the poison. Religion misunderstood, it's poison. Niggas up in my hood be getting shot, giving poison. In hospitals, shots riddled, a block little. Children and elderly women run for their lives. Drizzling rain come out the sky. Every time somebody dies, must be out my fucking mind. What is this, the 100th time sending flowers to funerals? Reading rest in peace, you know the usual. Death comes in threes, life is short, is what some niggas said. Not if you measure life by how one lives and what he did. It's funny how these black killer companies is making money off us. Fast food, cola, soda, skull and bone crosses. It's all poison. Ecstasy, coke, you say it's love, it is poison. Schools where I learned they should be burned, it is poison. Physicians prescribing us medicine, which is poison. Doctors injecting our infants with the poison. Religion must overstud, it's poison. Sisters up in my hood try to do good, giving choices. When pregnant, drop out of school, I have abortion. Stop working, hoping that they find a man that will support them. Up late night, on their mother's cordless. Thinking a perm or bleaching cream will make them better when they gorgeous. White girls tanning, liposuction. Fake titties are implanted, fake lips, that's life destruction. Light-skinned women, biracial, hateful toward themselves. Denying even their blood. I don't judge Tiger Woods, but I overstand the mental poison. That's even worse than drugs. Yo, it's poison. Ecstasy, coke, you say it's love, it is poison. Schools where I learned, they should be burned, it is poison. Physicians prescribing us medicine, which is poison. Doctors injecting our infants with the poison. Religion misunderstood is poison. Radio and TV poison. White Jesus poison. And any thoughts of taking me down is poison. Who want beef now? My heat shall anoint them. Plow. Never to worry. All the wrongdoers got it coming back to them 1,000 times over. Every dog has his day and everything flips around. Even the most greatest nation in the world has it coming back to them. Everybody reaps what they sows, that's how it goes. Innocent lives will be taken, it may get worse, but we'll get through it, y'all. Be strong. The Chinaman built the railroad. The Indians saved the pilgrim, and in return the pilgrim killed them. They call it Thanksgiving, I call your holiday hell day. Cause I'm from poverty, neglected by the wealthy. Me and my niggas share gifts, ay, day like Christmas. Slay bitches, and party, ay, day like this is the last. I whip my heckles, connecting them, we hitting the lab. This is my level, fuck it, forget you mad, it's all poison. All of my words to enemies, it is poison. Rappers only talk about keys, it's all poison. How could you call yourself MCs, you ain't poison. Poison. Think about the kids you mislead with the poison. And any thoughts of taking me down is all poison. Who want beef now? My heat shall anoint them. Plow.
What goes around comes around, my nigga. And what goes up, it must come down, my nigga. This soul just found below the ground, my nigga. Just hold it down, we older now, my nigga. What goes around comes around, my nigga. And what goes up, it must come down, my nigga. This soul just found below the ground, my nigga. Just hold it down, we older now, my
this
nigga.
This nigga Ike with the Iverson jersey, light skin with herpes. Fucking sisters in Harlem, Brooklyn, and D.C. This is the problem, cause he never telling me got it from Litton Fags. Suck him off, Rikers Allen in 9-3. Drives a Benz, hangs at all the parties, all the concerts. Backstage where the stars be, rocking their shirts and bitches' faces like clockwork. What's your name, where you from? Chain blinging, thinking. Girls everywhere is dumb, taking pride and ruining their lives. So they can never have babies, and they can never be wives. He never used a condom, give him head, he gotcha. Met the wrong bitch, and now he's dead from the monster AIDS. I contemplate believing in karma. Those on top could just break and won't be eating tomorrow. I know some bitches who be sleeping on niggas' dreams. They leave when that nigga blow, she the first bitch on her knees. Knowing dudes that's neglecting they seeds, instead of taking care of them, they spending money on trees. I pray for you, deadbeat daddies, cause when them kids get grown, it's too late for you. Now you old and you getting shitted on. It's all scientific, mystic. You know the earth and the stars. Don't hesitate to say you heard it from Nas. What is destined shall be. George Bush killer to George Bush kills me. Much blessings, be healthy, remember.
What goes around comes around, my nigga. And what goes up, it must come down, my nigga. His soul just found below the ground, my nigga. Just hold it down, we older now, my nigga. What goes around comes around, my nigga. And what goes up, it must come down, my nigga. His soul just found below the ground, my nigga. Just hold it down, we older now, my nigga. My nigga.
You're listening to your host, Akeem L. on Hindsight Radio.
Peace to the God. What's going on, everybody? You're listening to the Thursday Rant with your host, Akeem L. You're listening to Hindsight Radio, the information station changing the nation. Peace to the gods. What's going on? Hope everybody's doing well. See, right now, I feel like I'm coming down with a cold or something. I don't know. I hadn't had one of those in a couple of years. I don't know. I'm going to make it through, though. Alright, what's up, man? Long. Hope y'all listen to that clip, man. These people don't keep their word. You know? That's what I don't understand. Why do we keep voting in these systems, trying to look for this system to do something for us? Shoot, for hundreds of years they've been lying and causing destruction, and it hasn't changed. You know, they just changed little tactics here and there, but for the most part, we're still receiving the same problems. You know? Worshiping in the white Jesus, sending our children to these schools to get poisoned mentally. You know? We'll get it together. Like you said, what goes around comes around. They're going to get theirs. They're already getting theirs. I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago. I wish I could find it, but it said the mortality rates of whites is high. They have they've been having a negative birth rate, you know, for a long time, since like the 30s, but it's down there with all of the drug use out here, you know, overdoses and things like that, they're saying that, you know, the white male's lifespan is drastically reduced. I know y'all read, you hear the papers, they try to say that we are sick ones. We got all this diabetes, we got all these things. Yeah, we do have that in our community. But what they're doing, they're covering up the fact that these guys are, you know, just basically dropping dead at an alarming rate, that they say in 20 to 50 years they'd be close to extinction. Now, if you, and this was a reputable article, I think it was in a Huffington Post, it was in one of those articles, it's When I dig it up, I'm going to read it probably next week. But I was reading some other statistics in different states where the overdose rate was almost as high as the migration rate into the state. I think this was in Colorado, one of these, Colorado, Kentucky. You know, there's a lot of people are embarrassed to call, you know, when they get these overdoses, they're embarrassed to call the ambulance, you know, to help them. A lot of these people could be safe, but because they want to try to save face, you know, they wait till it's too late. You know? So, I'm saying this because what you put out there, you do get back. And it's happening. We don't have to pick up a sword and a gun or anything like that. We don't have to be violent. Because it's happening. It's happening on its own. You see? Because what you put out there, you will receive back. I know from my own experience, things that I've done, I saw it come back to me. I probably still got some stuff to deal with, you know? So you can't go around treating people bad with evil intent and think that it won't happen to you. I remember watching a 2020 episode where this 8-year-old boy shot his father in the head while he was sleeping. And his father was a Ku Klux Klan member. And he was preaching hate against everybody that was non-white, Jews, blacks, whatever. And then one day his son just picked up a gun and just casually shot him in the head while he was sleeping. Now, at 8 years old, you know, they try to say this kid had some mental problems and all this. You know, they try to use all of that. But at 8 years old, what would be in the mind of a young boy that just walked up to his father, picked his gun up, and just pulled the trigger? See, your children will do what you teach them, whether verbally or non-verbally. They follow what you do. So you around here teaching hate to all of these people that he, but see the thing about children is, this child probably never witnessed another person of, you know, a non-white or a black person do anything other than what he heard on TV or what his parents were teaching him. So all the violence that he was being taught was taught to him by his own parents. And these children, they pick up on that vibe. He was taught to do that. They try to say, oh, he had issues, this and that. They gave him, you know, damn near made that little boy crazy at the age of 8. But I'm saying, and the sad part about it, these people haven't learned their lessons. They don't see that this violence is being turned on themselves. I know we see them here, you know, on the news violently attacking us and things like that. But every act of violence that one of them commit against us, best believe they're losing 10 of their own. That's just the way the universe works. And right now they're in panic mode. That's why they're so happy about Trump being in office. Because this is their last ditch effort to regain what they stole. They think they're losing something. See, whenever you steal something from a people, you always have that fear of losing it. Because you know you took it under evil intent. It's not yours. We coming up slowly but surely, and I guarantee you, we won't have to fire one shot. We won't. Maybe, you know, somewhere in the future we might. But I'm just saying, all of the shots, they'll be fighting amongst each other. If you look at history, that's all they did was fight amongst each other. They don't like each other. Destruction is in their nature. And I'm sorry, I might be offending some folks, but I'm just going off facts. Look at this. Look at this mess that, you know, dropping bombs on people. You know, but yet we're the ones with the problems. I'm sorry, we don't own tanks. We don't have a lock on the businesses that build weapons. I'm sorry, you can't blame that on us. Yeah. What I want to talk about today is going back into my book by Barbara G. Walker, The Woman's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets. And I'm going to the very beginning of the book, just the introduction of the book, because I'm going to keep going in on this religion stuff, because we have to know the origins of these things in order to unravel and get ourselves out of this mess that we allowed ourselves to stay in. Read that, then I'm going to go to the phone line, take some questions, and keep it moving. That's right. Heroin use has skyrocketed. Not amongst us. You know, we see what they don't fail to realize when they go to these wars, these guys come back junkies. And, you know. But anyway, let's go on to this book. I can't put it in the chat because I'm reading directly from the book. And it's going to. Here we go. Modern Christians take it for granted that they must revere the figures of father and son, never perceiving divinity in corresponding mother and daughter figures, as the ancients did. See, we have an imbalance. We have religion, this religion, especially Christianity, that reveres the man over the woman and kind of put her in a lowly position. That's out of balance. It's not supposed to be like that. Our ancestors revered the man as well as the woman in balance, because one is not more important than the other, you know. So when you have a religion that places one higher than the other, it makes it like they're the end all be all, and then you just put the woman like they gotta be on their knees, they gotta be back. You know, most, a lot of women that they talked about in the Bible, they, you know, especially in the New Testament, you know, a lot of them was harlots. Like one woman had all these husbands, and then you wonder why the women in the church are doing that same thing. They read that. They're getting that energy from the Bible. The energy, the Bible teaches them that. All right, let's go. Though Catholics still worship the goddess under some of her old pagan titles, such as Mother of God, Queen of Heaven, Blessed Virgin, and so on, theologians refuse to admit that she is the old goddess in a new disguise, and paradoxically insist on her non-divinity, see Mary. The older concept of the female Holy Trinity ruling all cycles of creation, birth, and death in her virgin mother and crone forms was destroyed by Christians' attack on her temples, scriptures, rituals, and followers. The church declared from the first that the great goddess whom Asia and all the world worshipeth must be despised and her magnificence destroyed. And then they give reference to Acts 19:27. Let's see what that says. Acts 19:27. Let's see what it says to see if it lines up. I'm reading out of my apocryphal Bible. That's the one with the ones that they took out. 19:27 says, "And there is danger not only that the trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be scorned, and she will be deprived of her majesty that brought all Asia and the world to worship her." So there's some truth to that. You know? So they talk about that Artemis. This is virtually the only gospel tenet that churches follow through all their centuries with no deviation or contradiction. It seemed necessary to hide the fact that Christianity itself was an offshoot of Middle Eastern goddess worship, skewed by the asceticism of Persian India, see Jesus Christ. As a salvation cult, early Christianity based its scheme of redemption on the premise of female wickedness. Salvation was needed because there had been a fall brought about by archetypal women. Without the myth of Eve's defiance, there would have been no sin, hence no need for salvation or savior. Fathers of the church declared that the original sin was perpetuated through all generations by every woman through sexual conception and birth giving. Woman's mysterious, devilish sexual magnetism seduced men into the conspicuous concupiscence that even within lawful marriage transmitted that taint of sin to every man, see sex. So said St. Augustine, and the church never altered its opinion. Throughout history, we find clergymen advocating abuse of women to express their horror of female sexuality, their conviction that all women deserve punishment for the primordial crime that brought death and damnation to man. Adam, representing all men, was less guilty than Eve, representing all women. St. Paul even regarded Eve as the only guilty one. The tradition persisted up to the present century when the clergy, if not advocating active abuse of women, at least refrained from too much interference with it. Some clergymen have been found to be wife batterers. Many still counsel women to be subservient to men in accordance with God's will. Man's and God's attack on women was not usually justifiable as revenge for real injury. Therefore, the mythical injury of the fall was essential to early theological schemes. The practical goal was not to prevent women from hurting men, but to prevent women from acting independently of men, from owning their own property, earning their own money, making their own sexual choices, or raising their own children without interference. Patriarchal religions declared war on pagan society, where motherhood was once considered the only important parental relationship, where women owned the land and governed it, its cultivation and sexual attachments was made and unmade at woman's discretion. From a biological viewpoint, patriarchal religion denied women the natural rights of every other mammalian female, right to choose her stud, to control the circumstances of her mating, to occupy and govern her own nest, or to refuse all males when preoccupied with the important business of raising her young. Just basic biological rights of the female were set aside by patriarchal human society. Although at the dawn of history, the social role of male begetters was very differently conceived in a way alien to modern patriarchal thought. Today's scholars habitually call all female male deities of that ancient world gods, as they also call humanity man. Yet the supreme deity of the world was usually a goddess, the creatress or mother of the gods, and the very word man used to mean woman in incarnation of the same lunar mother in its original language. Early Christian thinkers rightly perceived that destruction of the woman's goddess would mean a crushing blow to woman's pride and confidence, since men's pride depended greatly on their vision of a god like themselves, only better. Women were not called daughters of this god, who gave men their souls. In the 6th century, churchmen even denied that women had any souls. Forbidden by Christian conquerors to express their own faith, the women of Europe eventually adopted the men's faith perforce. Sometimes they were lured by specious concessions, which would afterward rescind it. Sometimes they were coerced by Christianized husbands or overlords. The myths and secrets of women's spiritual past were buried, just as men buried the Sheila Nagig figures of semi-pagan Irish churches, hoping they would never be found. However, what Christian histories really admit is that After more than 1,000 years of alternate violence and guile, the Western world still was not truly Christianized. The ancient faith persisted because every man was still born of a woman and nurtured by a woman, despite the theologians' insistence that a father was the only significant parent. See paganism. It was mere verbal learning, as contrasted with the direct experience of infantile dependence on the mother. When it appeared at all, father love seems to have been a somewhat less satisfactory artificial imitation of mother love. In relations between fathers and children, the more dominant emotion was fear. Men were enjoined from the pulpit to instill the fear of God into their children through harsh punishment. Harshest of all was the Heavenly Father's punishment, a terrible vision of eternal torture developed out of men's fears. The Christian hell was the most sadistic fantasy ever to masquerade as fact. See hell. Churchmen used it not only to terrify naive congregations into compliance, but also to excuse the torture and burning of witches. Inquisitors said the internal punishment of such heretics should begin in this life, continue upon up to the victim's death. See how men just came up with these ideas of who needed to be punished, and all under the guise of God has ordained them to do it. The religion of goddess and her sons and lovers, the old gods, came to be called devil worship, because these deities were redefined as devils when they were not adopted into the Christian canon as pseudo-saints. The link between woman and devil in the patriarchal mind was as old as the Garden of Eden story. It persisted even after the dawn of more enlightened age brought the decline of organized persecution. However, the rack and stake were replaced in the 18th and 19th centuries by more subtle abuses aimed at suppressing women legally, politically, economically, psychologically. Clergymen helped by opposing women's education and supporting all physical and legal measures by keeping women in their place. Now, let me clear some stuff up here. All of this women's suppression, our ancestors didn't practice that. This is all European ideas. This did not come from our culture. In our culture, we supported each other equally, you know. And in a lot of cases, the women ran the nation, while the men were out conquering other nations to bring them back in. So what you're reading here is basically their history of how they adopted religion and wanted to treat their women. And see, the problem is, we bought into this idea, and since we bought into this, we are on the same destructive path as they will soon find themselves. So we have to get out of this. We can't be following this line of thought, the suppression of our women. And as you can see, by us following this, look at our women, not even our women anymore. They think like the oppressor. So we have to keep that in mind. Somebody said, my uncle told me that Nam was fought to enforce Christianity like they did in America. Yes, it was. But what they don't tell you, in Vietnam, America got their ass kicked. They had to pull out. Don't let nobody fool you. They sent them people back in a lot of body bags, sent us back with addiction. That you got to think about it. That's when drugs really hit our neighborhood, because they forced us to go to that war through the draft. And then a lot of our men came back shell shocked and hooked on heroin. And the reason why we lost our, they got their ass kicked, because the Vietnamese was experts on guerrilla warfare. The moms used to dig tunnels and come up right up in the enemy camp and take them by surprise. They even got our ass kicked. They don't like telling that story. Let me go on. Recently, some women have begun to seek better understanding of that feminine nature, buried as it was under Western society's proliferation of masculine images and values. One interesting idea to emerge from this new research is that women's religion that continues today's world might be less troubled by violence and alienation. Gods, including Yahweh, tend to order their followers to make war, whereas the Great Mother Goddess advocated peaceful evolution of civilized skills. Cooperation rather than exploitation was the material matriarchal rule. Goddess worship usually entailed frank acceptance of the natural cycles of sexuality, birth, and death, and maternal concern for the welfare of coming generations. Love was not the abstract principle that love of God was to become. In the very process of worship, it could be directly, intimately, and physically experienced. Certainly, there was still a strong element of Oriental feminist concept in the medieval heresies that aroused the ire of the church. Perhaps the most important part of any religion is the direction it gives to interpersonal behavior patterns. The patterns evolved by women in honor and their ancient goddess surely deserve close study today. As one of the goddesses' scriptures pointedly said, what use are grand phrases about the soul on the lips of those who hate and injure one another? Religion is kindness. Traces of the kind goddess are still to be found in a thousand hidden pockets of history and custom, myths, superstitions, fairy tales, folk songs and dances, nursery rhymes, traditional games, holidays, magic symbols, sagas, and scriptures, both original and revised, apocryphal and otherwise. In addition to the valuable material recovered by archaeologists, Orientalists, and other scholars, that has emerged from comparative studies which can be fitted together like pieces of jigsaw puzzle. The puzzle is far from complete, but many of its pieces are here in this book. These myths and secrets are drawn from more than paganism. Biblical myths are especially significant, not only because they shape the attitudes of Western culture, but also because they were written and rewritten during centuries of transition from matriarchal to patriarchal system. The later development of Christian myths contributed much to sexist thinking. In Europe, sexism was a primary product of Christian church. Patriarchal religions like Judaism and Christianity established and upheld the man's world, largely by an elaborate structure of falsehood. Among the secrets of this book are many surprising historical secrets that were covered up, whitewashed, or otherwise falsified through 1,500 years when the church maintained a monopoly of literate records and virtually wrote its own history to its own order. Some of the facts concealed by that Christian history have come to light in recent decades. Others are being kept secret even now by religious organizations still dedicated to preserving a patriarchal society. Laymen, and especially women, are theoretically forbidden to investigate them. Nevertheless, they can be found out. Naturally, the secret most deeply concealed by Christianized history was the many-named goddess. The original Holy Trinity, who created and governed the world, gave birth to the saviors, sent her tablets of divine law to the prophets, and watched over every life from womb to tomb, according to pre-Christian belief. Today, she is viewed as mythical, having been replaced by a god equally mythical, but more acceptable to a male-dominated culture, who took over most of her attributes. It is not usually understood that the spiritual life of Western man, and especially a Western woman, was greatly impoverished by her violent suppression. The unremitted warfare of the church against followers of the goddess is a large part of what feminists now call our hidden history. Even though Christianity itself grew out of once universal religion of the goddess, it was a matricidal son whose bigotry tinged every thought and feeling with woman hatred. In the end, it produces a society in which members of one sect invariably oppress members of the other. And both came to regard this inequity as a natural state of affairs ordained by a male creator. Matters were otherwise in the pre-Christian world, where the creator was more often a creatress. Through making God in his own image, man has almost forgotten the woman once made the goddess in hers. This is the deep secret of all mythologies and the fundamental secret of this book. So there you have it. Yeah, they switched up, you know, and we followed. See, they didn't want to do that to their women. We didn't do that. We knew the power of balance, you know. And their lack of understanding this world, they created a societal that's always about oppression. That's why it comes so natural to them. That's why they continue to suppress us as a people. Yeah. Alright, that's all I wanted to read. It's 7:46. I'll take a couple of calls before I go to break. I'm gonna try to last, but this cold is getting a little worse. But here we go. Let's see who's on the phone line. Let's see what y'all think about what I read before y'all start going in on those questions that's off topic. Talk about what I was talking about. 731-343.
Peace of the gods.
Peace of the gods. What's up?
Ain't nothing much I can't even Travis to tell. Man.
What's going on?
Man, ain't nothing much. Just checking in, man. I got to get that book. There's a lot of good information in that book, man.
Yes. The Woman's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets by Barbara Z. Walters. It's got a little feminist tone to it, but it's a lot of good information in it.
Yeah, I could tell. I listened to a talk on YouTube one time. I knew it was a lot of feminism to it, but it's some truth. You know, it's always truth mixed up with other shit sometimes.
See, you gotta realize she's talking from the perspective of a European. See, what happened was when they started to travel the planet and they saw how the women started to witness how we treated our women.
Right.
They took the gods that we were, our Egyptian gods, and called them something else. I can't remember the gods they call it. I think it's Isis or something.
So
they started worshiping this god. It's another name. So when they witnessed our gods, they took the same god, called it a different name. You know, they like to revise stuff. So,
right.
And they were worshiping it. And so the men were starting to lose hold of their women. So these men got tired of this shit. And they was like, wait a minute, well, we losing control. We're not getting no pussy. And she done witnessed how these people treat their women. And they want to be, they want to be on equal standing with us. They couldn't allow that. So what happened?
Right.
They went on a worldwide campaign to destroy the black male image. And it went on a worldwide campaign to change our gods to just patriarchal gods. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
If you look at all of the African deities, you had females and you had males.
Most of the time they came in pairs. Most of the time, from what
right.
I remember looking at that.
Yeah. So they was like, oh, okay, we can't have that, so we're just going to make them all male, and we're going to suppress this woman and keep her under control.
Right.
Why do you think
it's just like,
the girl Hillary Clinton didn't get in office? Come on, man. These white boys don't want no white woman in
there. Man, I
and
look.
The sad
look,
part
I,
about it, the women, the white women don't want a white woman in there.
Hey, look, I told my son's mother when Obama ran the first time, I believe. And, you know, didn't Hillary run that time, too, the first time Obama ran?
She ran against Obama and lost. And guess
right.
what?
He
the
was,
wife was so destructive against their woman, they let a brother
they'll put
get
a,
in there first.
Yeah,
right.
I told my mother that. She was like, I don't know if I should vote for Hillary or something. I said, look, man, I'm going to tell you right now. I said, I think the white boys let Obama in before they let a woman in. They just ain't built like that, man.
They'll let a black woman become president before they let their own woman get become president.
Oh man.
I tell you why they'll do it. And you see it on a micro level every day.
Yeah.
Most of these white boys got law offices, right?
Right.
And they always have them a black paralegal. Where their daughters at? Why their daughters ain't helping them run their office?
Damn, I really didn't ever think about this shit. You ain't lying, but
all of them that got their business, you always get in there. Very few of them have a white girl running their little law. Always have, and look at the state office. You see nothing but our women in there.
Right. Yup. Especially like if you're doing something on a lower level, like if you go to the driving place or something like that. Most of the time, you're going to see. Mm-hmm.
No, go to the second. In the Secretary of State office.
Right.
Of South Carolina, there's two black girls in that front office that you see when you walk in there. Young.
And they say a lot because they're South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. And the solicitor's office. Main solicitor. I don't think he's the solicitor anymore. He might not be, but when he was,
right,
his main girl was a black woman.
But since we've been going deeper, what I'm saying is,
the reason why they won't let a white woman, they don't want a white woman in office, because then that they lose control in their house. They always
right.
got a problem with the white women wanting the black man. That's always been their thing. Right? Now, if they give her a higher position in office, now all of these other white women are going to step up and they're going to lose control of the house. The one thing that the white man fears is losing power. That's why he doesn't want to share power with the black man. Never wants to share it. Now, we can have real peace tomorrow if these boys would just sit down and cooperate with everybody and everybody comes to the table and comes to consensus. But no, these boys, no, we the power. We're going to do everything by force. Look at Trump now. Look at Bush. That's how they operate.
Yo.
It's all power. It's all
that's some real deep psychological shit they got fucked up with them because, you know, I work where I work at. I interact with a lot of European women. And I know a couple of European women that started talking to brothers. And all the women that I talked to that started talking to the brothers, I said, well, when was the last time you talked to a white boy? Why did you stop talking to him? And it's always some demeaning, abusive type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really downgrade their women. They make them feel low. But they take it from them, though. It's like they know. It's like they so trained to take
it. Where else are they going to go? They hold the power over the money. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They got our brothers in such an impoverished state. There's no financial security on that side. They're gonna take that sex. Yeah.
Right.
They're not gonna leave the compass of all of that wealth. There's white women, I know that are in relationship with white men for years, have children, and know they white men are out here sleeping with them.
Oh, yeah, they won't leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't gonna lie, I used to kind of look up to them for that a little bit because I used to feel like when I was a little bit younger, in my mid-20s, I used to be like, if you did something to a black woman, she'd just leave so quick. But I used to feel like that those white women were just used to a family structure more than we are most of the time. But now that you open it up to me,
you,
it's even deeper.
I'm sorry, go ahead and finish and I'll add in. Go ahead.
I was just saying that I used to look at it like that, but since now that you pointed it out, I look at it even deeper now. So now realizing that they even hateful toward their own kind, their own women. So I don't know what's going on with them guys, man. They just destructive, dog.
My mom's a nurse, and I know a few other nurses, and they told me stories how, when you know, in hospice, white guys, they're on their last leg.
Right.
You know, wife come to visit. And the white guy is just openly admitting how he like him some his stuff dark, right in front of
right.
his wife, like it ain't nothing. Just totally, yeah. You know,
they
do that right in front of, like, they bring their girlfriends around the wife. Some of these guys.
I mean, I know they wide open with this shit. You know what
I'm
saying?
Think about it. Here's where I see. Just my opinion. A lot of our women will leave for the cheating, right? And go
mm-hmm.
into a situation where they are financially burdened. Right? Because they're not going to tolerate that.
Right.
Now, you got to deal with all kind of money problems, this, that, and the other. Now you deal with the stress of not being able to pay all your bills. And you don't have no one to help you, right? And some
right.
of them won't even take the money the guy trying to give them, right?
Right, right.
Self-destructive. Now, look at the psychological of the white woman. Say, well, you know what? Do whatever you want. But you're going to give me, I'm going to take this money.
Right. You're going to take care of this.
At least I have that comfort level. I don't have to worry about paying my bills. You see
right.
what I'm saying? At least you don't disrespect me. At least I'm getting paid to be disrespected.
Right. I agree with that totally.
You see
what I'm saying? That's what I see. You know?
Right. At least you can just live up, but shit, I'm living in a $1 million mansion.
Perfect scenario.
Yeah.
If you've ever watched the Sopranos, mm-hmm. Tony cheats on his wife. He comes home with a Porsche truck full. She gets hot.
Yeah.
She throws shit around the house. He come home with a new Porsche truck full.
Yeah.
You feel mm-hmm. me? But he cheats regularly though. And she and
yeah.
Sometimes the woman that he cheats with calls the house. You know what I'm saying? So it's like some shit that you would have never seen in your household. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man, the way that some of these dudes disrespect. Well, no black woman gonna tolerate that.
They be done killed before they go for their shit.
They get that money. They pay their bills. They're living comfortable under all that disrespect. At least financially.
Right.
I mean, we know money don't buy everything. But I tell you what, you can live a lot easier being able to pay your bills and not being able to pay your bills. Get them situation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I want to touch on something.
Here's our problem. Before you go into that, our problem is us brothers are trying that and ain't got no money to even compensate that.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You know, you play that game and you ain't got nothing to offer after the fact. You know, you just kind of make it a little better.
A lot of these brothers mm-hmm. doing this shit and they making less money than the woman. They kind of leaning on the woman doing this
right.
shit. You know,
right. That's what I'm saying. They
ain't
got it all
twisted. Right, right. But what I was gonna tell you on a personal note was the last 2 weeks I done noticed I'm in Jackson, Tennessee, and I got a cousin in Nashville and Memphis, and then I got one that's in Georgia. And all of them been like, I don't know if it's a lot of extra pollen in the air this year, but all of us had like our throat and shit started bothering us. So what I did
right now, out of the blue.
Right.
Man,
that's what I was
telling you.
I just drank a lot of tea with a lot of burdock root in it and shit
mm-hmm.
like that. And it cleared up for me. And it took about 5 days of me doing it. But I'm good.
Yeah,
so,
man,
you know,
completely fine until something with this pollen, man, it's unusual.
Yeah.
Man.
Hey, who was that woman that you played Tuesday, man? Cause I wanted to send it to somebody.
That was a clip I got on Facebook that says black women need to apologize. Type the search on that. I don't remember her name. I had that clip for a while. That's old. I had that up there for a little over a year.
That was deep, though. She went in, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. She broke it down. But, you know, a lot of these sisters ain't trying to hear what she got to say, though. They ain't going to apologize.
Like, hey, look, my son's mother sent me a video, and you probably seen that one, too, where it was a Morris guy talking about men shouldn't be tripping about this shit and about the shit with Trump, and you don't, you know, it doesn't matter what she's using the money for, blah, 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 blah. So somebody sent me that shit, and I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You just, you know, emotionally
scarred. Y'all see that video with the, it's some type of guy, he's a representative for certain, some states, and he's talking about child support. And he was telling, you know, he was talking to the child support enforcement office. He's like, yo, you know, why y'all just don't put them together? They can work together. And because what this state is doing is, which is fucked up and unconstitutional, say your child is 7 years old, and then the mother goes in and try to get child support. They going to try to make you pay child support from the day that child was born.
From the day
he came out. Yeah, that's unlawful. You can't get a claim from 7 years earlier. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, hell, they might as
well. If you know the law, you can't go back and say, well, now, oh, this father, we're going to bring him to court, and we're going to make him pay 7 years' worth of child support, put him in a hole like that. That's what the state was doing. So the guy was pushing the child support and enforcement agency. Said, why y'all just let them? He said, nah, we can't let them do that. Nah. Then finally, the lady broke down and said that whatever they collect, so say, let's say his child support, that arrearage is $35,000. She said
right. That
the federal government will match them for what they collect.
So you telling me when they did mine and it was $40,000 and they took my $7,000 in income tax I got that upcoming year, you trying to tell me that they took, the federal government took that and they gave Tennessee $7,000?
And they gave them exact, they got that $7,000 and then the federal government gives them another $7,000.
Hey, we got some work to do, bro. They got to give me this shit back.
What I'm saying is, this is straight unconstitutional. They got a vested interest in all of these cases, and they not a party to any of this situation.
Right. No contract with them folks. And I didn't even sign no papers when I went in there. I didn't sign shit.
No.
You know.
Well, right. They just robo-signing stuff.
Right. They just wanted to know how much I made and shit, you know, but I didn't sign shit. You know what I'm saying? But,
That's
all
why
good,
they relied on enforcing it, because the state is getting paid off the back of the slavery that they put these brothers into.
But it's probably the biggest racketeering thing they done came up with yet.
It's thievery. Yes, it's racketeering.
Shit.
So the brother had put the video up, so I went and pulled the law. The statute just showed them how much the states get for every dollar that they collect.
Right.
He didn't respond. I'm going to see if he responded to that. But see, you can tell he knew nothing. He talking
like, he
didn't
know nothing about this
right.
Shit. I can't.
You know, this stuff ain't right. Just shut that down immediately. You know?
Man. Hey. It's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous.
That's evil. And all that's going to do, the system's going to collapse. It's going to collapse because they're doing evil things. You're going to sit a man and get him.
I knew they got that money.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know they got the money that, you know, from that back pay. I didn't know they matched the state with it, because I knew the Treasury took my income tax, you know, because I guess they're trying to say I owe that $40,000 to the federal government. I guess that's what they're trying to say. Because basically they took what I paid and did time my son's age. He was 13 at the time. So they did 325 times 13 or something like that. And this shit was that like 40,000. It was like 38,000 and some more shit like that. And so I didn't know all this information at the time, but I knew enough. I said, so what is that for? Because my son stayed with me till he was 7. So then he said, well, do you have proof of bills? I said, well, do you got proof to show me where did y'all give? Y'all didn't give me $40,000 worth of shit. You know what I'm saying? So, I didn't even use Medicare because, I mean, I had a good job. He was on my insurance. So it was like, I'm like, what the fuck did y'all? And then what make it so bad, when they took the $7,000, I talked to his mother. I said, well, look, give me a couple thousand of that money. So I'm going to take him to Nashville and take him to the Polo store and all this type of shit. She was like, they didn't give me none of that money. I said, what? I didn't give her none of that shit. So look, that shit, this shit, man. I don't even want to talk about this shit, man. But
it's fucked up.
Yeah, man. I really like how y'all going deep, man, with this, you know, with the going into the Confederation and, you know, breaking it down, showing this separation between the USA and the U.S., you know what I'm saying? It's getting deep, man. So, you know, peace to the guys,
We are never going to get out of it as long as we still fucking with that church.
Right. Exactly.
Still we messing with that. See, the problem what people have is they want to take a little bit of information and say they want to use that and then keep some of that bullshit. You got to get rid of all of that shit.
You got to get rid of all this shit.
You got to get rid of all of that. If you want things to change in your life, if you really want to understand and see the lies and the manipulation that we're under, you see what I'm saying?
Right, because it's a big-ass web of this shit, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can never see it while you sitting in the smokehouse and them preaching that bullshit-ass white Jesus to you.
Right.
You know? You're not going to see it.
She just left the church now, and I actually shocked her, because she was talking about other type of church organizations and shit, because she a Methodist. And she was talking about Catholics and shit. And I said, you part of the Catholic Church? And she said, no, I'm a Methodist. I said, in 1983, they had something called the Council of Trent, and they basically bowed down to the Catholic Church. I said, why do you think when y'all pray and y'all say the universal Catholic Church, why the fuck are y'all saying it in a Methodist church? Because y'all under the Pope. You know what I'm saying? She just got quiet again, you know? And I said, these folks didn't even let women preach in y'all church, in the church till recently. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, shit just, the people just, it even says it in the Bible. They so stuck in their vain traditions. You know what I'm saying? They can't see shit, man. You can't see shit. You know what I'm saying? You don't even know what Easter means, but you finna celebrate Easter. But you don't know what the word Easter means. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all good, man. But, hey, throw that date at me real quick, Akeem. It's May. May what?
May what? You talking about the seminar?
Yeah.
I think it's May 13th to the
14th. Okay. I'm trying to save up. I'm gonna try to make it to this thing. I'm trying to. If you got any ideas or any good places where we can get hotel rooms at or something, you know,
that hotel that they have in is pretty decent hotel at a reasonable rate.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, man, drink some hot, man, and
yeah,
you know, get well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you something, Akeem. How do you take your serving time? Do you use the sugar cubes or?
I use the sugar cube, but I took it about a month ago. I take a little bit and put it in my tea and drink it that way sometimes.
But like a half a teaspoon or some?
Yeah.
A couple of drops or what?
Yeah, I do it like that. But the recommended way is do it with the sugar, but I hate you on them damn sugars. But if you do it that way, the way I do it, don't do it as much.
Right.
That's going straight to the head.
Man. Well, get well, brother. Peace to the gods.
All right, brother. All right, peace. All right, I'm going to take a short break.
Keep it locked on Hindsight Radio. On Hindsight Radio.
All right, we're back. Peace to the gods. All right, let's go to the next caller. 504-881.
Hey, Akeem, how you doing, bro?
Doing all right. Peace. going on, brother?
Nothing much. Just chilling, checking you out. I feel you when you talk about the religion, how people need to get away from the church. I agree with you.
They're hurting us right now. We caught up.
Yeah.
If that's, you know, think about it, that's where all our money's going. A lot of it. To them.
Yeah. Hey, but, you know, people out there waking up, though, man.
Mm-hmm.
People waking up. I see people waking up, you know, getting away from it. So that's good.
People are waking up. You know, a lot of older people are waking up. I've come across some older people that's like, you know what? You know, as long as I can, you know, believe in God, I don't need the church. You know what I'm saying? They say things like that, you know, because they've seen so much in these churches. And I think they're starting to get to they get in that they're not getting anything out of these churches.
No, they ain't getting nothing out of it. No, ain't nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of the system. Yeah. It's all part of the system. But I had a question about the birth certificate authentication.
You did what?
I have a question about the birth certificate authentication.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my birth certificate, it comes from Louisiana. Do I have to go to the Secretary of State in Louisiana, or can I do it in the state where I'm at?
No, you got to do it in the state where it was created. Because only people that can authenticate a birth certificate is the state where it was created. You got to authenticate it in your state, then you send it off to the Department of State down there in D.C.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You can't, because the state that you're in now don't know who the people are that was, who did that certificate. You see?
Right.
So you have to do it in your state first, that it was created when you were born, then authenticated all the way up on the United States level.
Okay.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, man. It ain't that easy like I thought it was gonna be writing this stuff out.
It's not easy because you ain't used to writing stuff like that.
No, I ain't. But I got the first note. The first note
is, go ahead, I'm listening.
I got the first notice done. It was the hardest. Mm-hmm. Everything else is pretty much off of that. It's everything else is just, you know, your notice of fault, opportunity to care, final notice of default. Everything else is easy after that.
Mm-hmm.
But the first, it was just getting, you know what I'm saying, getting it because I'm writing it out as if I'm going to, like, how I would do it, actually.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, yeah.
The reason why is because of how we were educated.
Yeah.
You know, it was like when I did my injunction, man, that thing was like, you know, I looked at the Georgia injunction, then to find the stuff that matched in my injunction, it was hard.
Yeah.
And one day I sat down, I just kind of cleared my mind and said, you know, I'm going to get this. And boom, it just popped. Boom.
Right.
Then I started to see what I needed for my injunction.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
You know, somehow I unraveled something in my mind. See, you got so much stuff going on, you got to reprogram your mind.
Right.
We've been taught to be blind to the truth.
Right. That's right. Yeah, we
mm-hmm.
have. Hey, I got another question. I was thinking, and I was reading now. Everything I'm doing on the way how I would do the habeas is all private. But
mm-hmm.
I heard Jonah talking about the notaries one time, and how do you get it notarized on the private side? Like you saying, all the notaries they not the real notaries on the private side. Like they all deputized.
Yeah, they all have to be, some of them have to have voter registration cards and all of that. There was a way that you get a notary, that you get three witnesses sign off, and there is a way to do it, but I couldn't tell you. I don't know anybody that has a private notary.
Okay. Yeah, I just was. I'm gonna figure it out.
As long as you get it notarized, you're fine. I mean, you just need it notarized. When you trying to find someone, make somebody a notary without them being public.
Yeah, kind of. I was thinking that way. But see, the thing is,
just somebody you know. You don't mind being a notary. Make him a notary. Make him a notary.
Okay.
You can pay, you know, sometimes like $25. I don't know, different states, prices in different states. They don't have to be on the information. Just somebody you know that's going to notarize your stuff. That's what you.
Well, see, I needed somebody. I kind of need a notary that's familiar with the administrative process. You see what I'm saying?
With
what? I want them doing an administrative process. Because I'm gonna have them respond back to the notary.
Right. That's a good way to do it.
You see
that? So you're gonna have to look for somebody that's willing to do that for you.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's notaries out there that do it, I just don't, you know, I don't know really where to start to look or how to, you know, I ain't never done it like that. I think that's a good way to go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay up on it. As soon as I get it done and typed up, I'm going to shoot it to you. All right, King.
You keep at it. You get it. Keep at it. All right, brother. I'm going to move on. All right, peace.
Peace.
All right, 303-669.
To the God, King, how you doing tonight, man?
Doing all right. What's going on?
Good show. I do have some questions, but I wanted to chime in first on the topic that you were speaking on with the females and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a little theory about that, and it's just like my own personal theory. I always remember learning that that the amalgamated brothers, if you will, like their pineal gland was like 80% of their pineal is calcified. And I always had a feeling that that might have an effect on some of their actions, because some of that stuff you was reading, like you said, they seem to have a history of it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no matter where they go, they kind of, you know, awesome.
I can barely hear everything you're saying. You're like going in and out, and you got a bad connection.
Let me see if I can get in a better spot. Hold up. But yeah, what I was saying is, what you were saying, the book you were reading, and about how the treatment was, the Europeans' treatment of the women, and how they how they have like their pineal gland is calcified in 80% of them. And I never really read this anywhere, but it's just a theory that I thought about. Like, maybe that's what causes that action of lack of concern or care, kind of, you know? Like, because it seemed like they kind of go in the paint with some of the ruthlessness a little extra. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This is something I had thought about, because I know that's like one of the main stimulants, the third eye, you know, in our culture always was significant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And how they're calcified, I don't know if that got anything to do with that, because there definitely is a difference, it seems, you know, with their actions. But I'm going to have to, what's the name of that book you were reading, though?
The Woman's Encyclopedia of Myths in Secret. You can get it off of Amazon.
All right, because I came in late on that. Women's Encyclopedia, all right. But,
of Myths and Secrets.
Of Myths and Secrets. Encyclopedia. All right, yeah, but I'm going to have to check that one, though, see what's good. But I have two questions. My first question was, is there latches on filing a complaint?
Yeah, it's what you call statutes of limitation.
Okay. And that probably varies from state to state. The,
you got to look up the laws, yeah.
Okay. Cool, because I'm still working on one of my cases, and it's been about 40 days so far. I just didn't know. I figured I'd check and see if that's if I'm getting too...
Hey, that's... But, no. Look at your states and when you need to file a complaint, how long you have to bring an issue with it.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
And my last one was with the I remember how Jonah was saying on the injunction to incorporate that that little snippet from the Articles of Confederation.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you guys always say too, you know, don't mess with the template, you know what I'm saying? So it's like is there any specific format that needs to be put in? As far as
on what?
In the injunction, Jonah was saying to incorporate that right to travel in the injunction.
Yeah, you can. That injunction is giving you the right to travel. It's basically
right.
Saying that, the way it is.
Right, that's
you
what I was thinking.
You can put it in there, yeah.
Yeah, he was saying they might just give it a little bit of more extra, you know, some extra gumph to it or something. So I was like, well, let me check and see. I just didn't want to throw it in and mess things up, though, you know, too. Just damage the template.
It works the way it's been working exactly the way it is without having to add it. So the only thing you most, you know, add your property in there that you want to protect, you know?
Oh, right, just maybe the VIN number and your... car colors, things like that. Okay.
Right.
All right, cool. Well, that's all I have for tonight. I'll go ahead and yield and let somebody else get in.
Oh, okay. All right, peace.
Peace to God.
All right, who's next? Let's move on to 214-414.
Hello? Peace
to God, what's up?
Oh,
yeah,
what's going on, brother?
All right.
I got a question about the non-UCC. Now, I checked my credit report, you know. It's cleaned up, man. I got the only thing left is child support that I'm paying right now still. Now, I already sent off my injunction, you know. Again, birth certificate is coming back next week. My question is, do I need to get that child support off of my credit report before I try to before I do the non-UCC on all my when I reconvey all the property over
child support don't have nothing to do with the non-UCC.
Oh, it don't.
And your credit report don't have nothing to do with the non-UCC.
Okay. I know you're saying that you gotta have minimum contact, right? If you
you need to get rid of that contract, but doing a non-UCC has nothing to do with your credit report. Right?
Oh, that's just reconveying all the property over to the
You just claiming ownership of the straw man. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's nothing to do with the straw man credit. No.
You know, I watched. You know, I got the non-UCC. I got the DVD. I watched it a few times, and he sent it off to the IRS. You know, and the IRS would. I think he said something about it. If it's not
you got Jonas
if you don't have
webinar.
Yeah, I got Jonas. Yes, sir. I think he said something about if you got minimum contact on, you got contact, you know, you're not going to be able to put that in there. But from what you say, I can go ahead and start preparing the non-UCC paperwork.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't took
you talking
went
about
to the process.
Credit report. You talking about a credit report.
No.
You do need to get rid of that child support under that straw man. You need to work on that, but. You'll be all right when you start putting everything into your non-UCC. Yeah, actually, that'll help you get out of the child support showing ownership.
I mentioned the credit report because I was checking when the last time I used the Social Security number. It said about 3.5 years. That's why I referenced that.
Yeah, they're gonna start pulling that stuff off in July. All those court judgments and stuff are coming off all everybody's credit report in July.
Why you say that?
They're not going to be reporting those type of things anymore.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah. Court judgments any public record stuff they're taking off.
Oh, that'll work. Oh, well, I might. All right, well,
because they have no way to see they can't verify that. They put it on there, but the court, it can't call the courts, and nobody's going to verify that whether it's accurate or not. So no. You're only supposed to have verified stuff on your report, so they're pulling all that off.
Well, yeah, you got a point. Mm-hmm. All right, that'll work, brother. I'm going to have to set up a consultation, man, when I get all the paperwork filled out, man, and I just want to send it off in a week or two. And I just want to give you kind of heads up, man. But I appreciate
okay.
it, bro. That's all I want.
All right. All right, peace.
All right,
bro.
Peace.
Thank you. All right, let's see. 336-988. Peace of the God.
Peace, peace.
What's going on?
Quick. Not much. I just recently got my 98 number, but they made me give up my social because when I told them my name, they already had me in the system. But I did get the number.
That means you did it wrong.
Did it wrong.
I know now you got the 98 number giving them a social, but you lucked out.
No, I ain't getting
it. That.
They said when I told them my name and my address, they had me in the system already. And
you
it was
were
like,
supposed
she,
to give them your name and your address when you got that 98 number.
You said I wasn't supposed
to? You were supposed to give them a foreign address in the spiritual name.
Oh.
And I, where did you get, who told you how to do it? Where did you get your information from?
Nah, I mean, I've been out back studying everything, and you know, I just went ahead because I've been.
Yeah, bro, you ain't supposed to give up no straw man information to get it.
So I need to redo it, I need to go ahead.
I would redo it because that straw man connected to that 98.
And that ain't no good.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Mm-mm. But you still got a 98 number. You lucked out to give me a 98 number. But, yeah. When you gave the your information and your domestic address, who did you say was the owner of of that 98 who was going to be running everything?
That's when I gave him my name.
You need to do that over again, bro. You need to do that over again.
I was supposed to say my spiritual name was going to be the owner.
Yeah, you're supposed to give him a spiritual name and find a foreign address in another country and use that. And then,
I did that, but then when they asked for the owner, I gave him this address. It was like, what's the shipping address? And I had gave him the one over here.
You can give them the care of address and it can be domestic. But you need to keep that, you're supposed to keep that straw man name out of there.
All right, so cool. Once I do it again and I give them, I'm going to give them the same because I said the address where it was in court where it was made at was in Nigeria.
Call from a different number, though. Call from a different number when you call.
Got you. And I can
still
use it. Or do I need to get a P.O. box? All the way off.
Yeah, you should always have a P.O. box. You shouldn't have the straw man resting where you live.
So this time,
some type of virtual address. You can get a virtual address for $10 a month. iPostal1.com.
Say it one more time, what's that?
iPostal1.com. The number one, iPostal1.com. Get your little virtual address where their stuff will go there and then have it rerouted to your physical address.
And then, I got my authenticated birth certificate. I'm going through this thing, man, like, because my mama, she just recently passed in December, and I'm the executive of her estate. And, like, she was in a few debts or whatnot. And you know how they try to say, like, it's owed by the estate. Like, how are they going to collect money from? And then with the taxes, you know, the taxes just came out for this year. They're trying to say this little house or whatnot is supposed to be like $1,000 and some change for some taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I put in my tax exemption form and it was denied because I said for religious purposes, and they denied the joint talking about some. It must be owned by a church and not the individual. But I'm glad I asked about that 98 because I was gonna try to ship everything to that 98, but I need to get a whole another 98 number.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know anything about dealing with estates and taxes? Like, and the house is basically paid off. Like, it probably just like a few grand left on a $70,000 little mortgage.
That's something that we need to talk about in the private, brother. You need a consultation for that. For that deal. To talk about that.
What's your website, KingMail.com?
Hakeem Mel, yeah. What I want you to do is, I'm going to give you somebody who's a little bit better at that. Go to JonahBay.com and set up a consultation with him on that.
Okay. All right, then what's the affidavit of ownership?
Huh?
Is the affidavit, because I had looked one up, but I don't know if it's the right one, because you know, they say
Jonah Bay. Yeah, we sell the affidavit of ownership of the birth certificate on our website.
Oh.
You can get that template and fill it out, have it notarized, and you're good to go.
Okay. All right, and then over
right there.
State.
You might find one online. I don't know. It may not have the correct verbiage in it, but the one we have
I found one that said lien rights, affidavit of ownership, lien rights.
Oh, okay. Nah, that don't sound correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember, let me explain something to you. The cheaper it is, the more problems it might give you. So, sometimes it's worth paying for your freedom, brother. You know,
right.
I think that affidavit costs like $35
Okay. I'm going to definitely get it. Like, all those little loopholes where I can hold these folks off. Like, cause how long does it take for your house to go on foreclosure before they be trying to say you got to get out, which is no way possible.
Okay,
like,
I must have missed something. You, the house is in foreclosure right now.
It ain't a foreclosure, but I refuse to pay these people over $1,000. Like, for what? What is taxes? You know what I mean? I don't believe in none of that. I'm a rebel.
Well, you $1,000 for taxes?
Yeah, for this house, from my house.
Man, you better pay that damn taxes. Pay it. You don't want to lose that house.
Oh, man.
You ain't ready for that battle yet, my brother. Why go into a battle when you don't even know the outcome? And we all
but how could they come? How they gonna come take a house? They'll do it though, but
they will take it if you don't pay them taxes. Nobody wants to pay that stuff, but brother, I ain't gonna sit here and tell you to do nothing. And, hey, do this, do that. A lot of people out there teaching people how to do stuff, and then them people lose their stuff. You pay that money, them taxes, bro. Shoot, some taxes I still have to. I want, you know, because I know I'm not ready for that battle. I teach this stuff because I haven't unraveled that part where I don't have to pay it. You know what I'm saying? You talking about property, and you're going to lose, they'll take that $1,000, sell that house, get their $1,000, and you out of a house.
That's crazy, yo. This is where we at, yo. This is where we at.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, man.
It's crazy, but we also agree to these contracts. So, brother, pay that tax.
Yeah, my mother did.
Give up that bread, man.
I see. Okay, cool, man. Peace. I'm going to set up that conversation.
Give them people that money and sleep at night. Comfortable. I ain't gonna sit here and teach you, oh man, oh yeah, that's bullshit. Don't do that. You could do this and do that and tell you something. I know you're gonna lose that house if you don't pay them taxes. But one thing, you have to, you still authenticate the birth certificate. You damn sure ain't ready to fight a battle with keeping your house. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Yeah,
I got my name.
That still ain't enough to keep that out.
I know this stuff.
And then by the time you get to that level, you know, ancestors will give you what you need to win those type of battles.
Right. I was already thinking the same thing, though. Just go ahead and pay it for
well,
this year.
What you the house is free and clear. If the house is paid off free and clear and you set up a trust and put the house in a trust and you gifting that trust over to your 9-8, then you're dealing with tax exemption right there. So you got it's a process.
So the 9-8 that I the new one I'm gonna set up, it's not gonna be a trust. I think it's like a business.
I wouldn't use that 9-8 because you gave up straw man information too.
I said the new 9-8. One. I'm about to be done with
get
that. So how do I cancel that 9-8? Because they said it's going to take 2 weeks
just
for my paper to get
there. You just got it. Just got it. Just go get another. Don't matter.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. All right, bro. All
right, man. Anybody that's right, not me, peace.
Glad I caught that last part. I want you telling me I lost my... No, brother, don't play them games with them people. Mm-mm. All right, man.
All right, peace.
All right, peace of God. Yo, everybody, I am out because I've been trying to hold it down, but I got to go get some rest. All right, I'll catch y'all on Tuesday. Peace to God.
You're listening to Truth Tuesdays with your host, Akeem L. on Hindsight Radio.
Airplane mode, don't need no drama. Everybody know I ain't about that drama, oh yeah. Oh, look at where I started. I'ma tell you right now, I've been on chillin' so hard right now. Ain't taking no calls right now. I'm kicking back and I'm lighting up, doing what the fuck I want. Just roll the wood, I'm feeling good, just me, myself, and this blunt. Everything I do is way up, man. If anybody good, I swear it's us, man. I'm vibing, I'm chilling, I'm good. I'm kicking back and I'm vibing. I'm chilling, I'm good. I'm kicking back and I'm vibing. I'm chilling, I'm good. I'm kicking back and I'm kicking back and I'm kicking back and I'm vibing. I'm chilling, I'm good. I'm kicking back and I'm good. Everything good over here, yeah. Everybody know I ain't about that drama. Everything good over here, yeah. Everybody know I ain't about that drama, oh yeah. Oh, look what started. I'ma tell you right now, I've been on chillin' so hard right now. Ain't taking no calls right now. I'm kicking back and I'm lighting up, doing what the fuck I want. Just roll the wood, I'm feeling good, just me, myself, and this blunt. Everything I do is way up, man. If anybody good, I swear it's us, man. I'm vibing, I'm chilling, I'm good. I'm kicking back and I'm vibing. I'm chilling, I'm good. I'm kicking back and I'm vibing. I'm chilling, I'm good. I'm kicking back and I'm kicking back and I'm kicking back and I'm vibing. I'm chilling, I'm good. I'm kicking back and I'm good. First break in a minute, can't remember not having going to work. Chilling by my mama crib, food smelling bomb, and I even went to church. Full tank in a whip, going for a little dry hair. Said I'm thinking about your school for a ride, and pop it up a surprise, and niggas I haven't heard from me. And I know they be missing me, I was busy as ever, it feel good to be on. It feel good to be smoking with all my niggas, thinking about the shit we used to be on. No lie, man, I really get the feeling, the shit is coming together. Good food, good weed, so the fam I ain't seen, it couldn't get any better. I'm vibing, I'm chilling, I'm good. I'm kicking back and I'm vibing.